Hello, and welcome to One-on-One with Robert Doerr. I'm your host, Robert Doerr, and thanks for tuning in today. As president of the American Enterprise Institute, I have the unique privilege of working with America's greatest policy experts. These scholars focus on policy issues in the fields of education, economics, energy, foreign and defense, and so much more. Subscribe to this podcast for exclusive access to in-depth discussions on the most pressing policy issues. Together with my guests, we'll challenge political preconceptions, explore innovative ideas, and create, I hope, a freer and safer world. Joining us today is Dan Cox. Dan is the director of AEI's Survey Center on American Life and a resident scholar at AEI. And I've gotten to know him pretty well over the last few years, and it's been a great joy. He's probably, you know, we haven't done a statistical analysis of this, but he's certainly in the top 10% of most cited and mentioned AEI scholars. And that's because you do all this really interesting work that people are fascinated by. And the great thing about it is it's only a little bit about politics and policy. It's more about life and how people are feeling and what's going on in their relationships. Is that fair that you sometimes go beyond just policy things?
Mostly, I would say. Of our work is non-political, although we always find ways to tie it back to politics, or someone else does.
Okay. Well, we're going to find a way to tie it back to politics at the end of this conversation, but we're going to start out with the finding that I've been particularly interested in because I have Gen Z children. And here at AEI, with all the young research assistants and other young staffers, we're surrounded by Gen Z people. And it appears from your work that there's a problem in Gen Z between the sexes. Men and women are not seeing the world. Now, they've never always seen the world the same, but they're seeing the world even less the same. Is that true? What's going on between men and women and Gen Z?
So this is part of a larger project I'm working on, trying to understand, you know, what's happening between young men and young women. We're seeing on a host of different attitudes, some divergence on their politics. Young women are becoming increasingly liberal. Young men are not.
And when you say young, we're talking about what age group?
18 to 29 is sort of the typical definition. If we're talking Gen Z, it's 18 to 27. So we kind of use them interchangeably. But this kind of pattern is emerging among people under 30.
Okay.
And you look at like feminist identity, 61% of Gen Z women identify as feminist. It's 43% of Gen Z men.
Well, just stop there. What do you think? What is your survey finding? What does feminist mean? What does it mean to be identified as a feminist? It's a little different than it used to be, seems to me, but is it a little more hostile toward men than it was in the past?
Well, I think that's exactly what's happening, right? That young men are seeing in feminism that it's not simply lifting up women and ensuring parity and equality between the sexes. It's about keeping men down and helping women in the kind of zero-sum environment. So if women are gaining, men are invariably losing. And I think that is coming through in a lot of ways on a lot of these different questions. So you're seeing whether it's abortion and reproductive issues, or feminist identity, there's a growing divergence between young men and young women.
And the divergence, as I read it in your writing, is the young women are viewing men as bad or not mature or sexist or dangerous or problematic. Where does this come from?
Yeah, it's complicated. So there's some work that compared attitudes of young men in the 1970s to young men today, and young women today are more likely to say they've experienced discrimination or harassment, when we know, you know, over the course of 40, 50 years that almost by any measure, incidences of you know, harassment have decreased offline. But what's happening online, I think, is a big part of the story. So there was a recent Pew report that found that the incidence of sexual harassment online had doubled over the last 5 or 6 years, with young women being on the receiving end to most of it.
Well, we'll get to the social media components of this or influences of this, but let's stick with the popular culture for a second. Don't you have some finding that indicates that the sort of Me Too movement and the publicity surrounding very high-profile sexual harassment cases has influenced women's attitude toward men in general in a more negative way than you would expect. Is that right? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So there's like two sides to the Me Too movement. I think there's a big part to be celebrated is the empowerment of women to talk about their experiences and find solidarity. One really fascinating finding in our poll was that we found that young women are much more likely to sort of share these feelings with other women. So what happens to women in general, they believe, impacts them. So there's this feeling of solidarity, and I think that can be positive. But on the other side, and I think this hasn't been talked about as much, is that this growing view that men are a threat, or that this sort of really negative, pernicious, awful behavior is commonplace in American society, and in particularly in dating life, that this is impacting their expectations about how men behave and what they're like.
So a term that my children occasionally use, especially my daughter, is toxic masculinity. Tell us characteristics of men that are suddenly no longer acceptable.
So I think a lot of the way that boys and young men were socialized in the past, and I'm a father of two boys, and you can sort of even see gender disparities now, was that being assertive and even aggressive in not only like on the athletic field, but in social situations was rewarded, that, you know, you stated your opinion first, you might talk over people. But that now is viewed, whether, you know, we're calling these things mansplaining or manspreading, which is when men sit on like public transit and spread their legs and take up more room, that these things are now really problematic. And I think,
well, let's just stop there for a second, because you'd use two words and you blended them together as if they were the same thing. And then you went to things that really are bad, talking over people, insisting, blah, blah, blah. But assertive is a word. Mm-hmm. Is a characteristic. It's a quality, and aggressive is another one. And so, isn't it possible that what is assertive, in a good way, I'm willing to assert my view and say what I think, without being afraid of repercussions. That's a virtue, but aggressive maybe is not a virtue. Why are these things merging together?
Yeah, I think it depends, right? I wrote this whole piece on the confidence trap that young men face, and it's true in a lot of different contexts, but you particularly see it in dating. So dating culture has shifted pretty dramatically. The sort of financial, economic, political power has shifted a lot between men and women over the past several decades. But there's still an expectation that young men should be confident in this context, that they should be the ones approaching women for the most part. Suggesting, you know, the contours of the dating activities and that kind of thing. And at the same time, they're also criticized for, you know, being overly confident, or, you know, not working sort of more collaboratively and engaging in that way. And I think that's really problematic. It leads a lot of young men to sort of feeling kind of lost and disempowered, and feeling like, well, how do I approach? You're telling me two different things. Kind of sit back, wait my turn, let other people, you know, get their view out. But you're also saying that, you know, I need to stand up for myself and engage, you know, proactively in these other contexts. And
so,
I think it's really, really problematic.
So men get these messages and they lose their confidence. And then this is something that I've observed. And tell me if you're finding this in your data. They then withdraw. Thanks again for tuning in to One-on-One with Robert Doerr. If you would like to hear the full episode, please make sure to subscribe and listen on the One-on-One channel.